When you have great coaches, then after you have great coaches, you get great players. You have a great organization, and you tell them one thing. Just win, baby.
Welcome to another episode of the Just Blog Baby podcast. I am Nick Jeltness, editor-in-chief of Just Blog Baby, taking over hosting responsibilities for the week with Dylan out. We are joined this week, as always, by Ryan Lopes, our resident Twitter guru, and we're bringing back a special guest, a repeat guest of the podcast, Mr. Eddie Borsilli from SiriusXM. How you fellas doing today?
I'm great, man. It's good to be back. Appreciate you guys having me back on. Draft's finally here, so it's an exciting time.
Doing good, man. I think we're gonna be in for a real treat at least on day one and maybe even day two. You know what I mean? I think it's gonna be a lot of crazy picks and a lot of unknowns right now. So exciting time.
Yeah, draft is anything but predictable, so I'm sure it's going to be a wild weekend once it's all said and done. So with that being said, we've got a lot to get to, so let's just jump right into it. Before we get to some of the draft stuff, though, let's start with the schedule. That was newly released, so the first question will go to our special guest here, Mr. Borsilli. Eddie, do you have some initial thoughts on the schedule? What did you think overall?
Yeah, I think I'm excited about how many primetime games they got. You know, as you guys know and everybody listening knows, there's been some lean years where this team has not been on any prime time besides the Thursday night package. So to have, you know, games on Monday night and Sunday night, especially late in the season, you know, obviously you're going to look at that Cowboy game, December 17th, Sunday night football, as, you know, a game that everyone's going to look forward to the whole season. So I think, I mean, just right off the bat, I don't like the fact that they open up in Tennessee. I feel like we play in Tennessee every single year. But other than that, I'm just pumped about how many primetime games. And I'm really curious as to why they put the Mexico City game as a Sunday 4 o'clock. I'm interested to see how that plays out, but you know, I'm just pumped to see the Raiders back in primetime.
There's one person I could say confidently that is excited about the week one game in Tennessee. And that's our boy, David Amerson.
That money week one, yeah,
man balls out against Tennessee. He's gonna have a strong game. Everyone's gonna say he's back, and then we'll see how that goes. Ryan, which game are you most excited for? Is it the Pats game or the Cowboys game? If you had to pick one as your must watch,
I mean, if you had to pick one, I guess you wanna always compare yourself against the best. So I mean, I think by default you gotta get up for any time, you know, you're playing a team like New England. This New England team, obviously, right now too, man. Brandon Cooks, the things they're doing out of the backfield, man. I mean, completely loading up. So that's going to be a really good test.
I'm strongly considering that Mexico City trip because that Pats game, fun fact, actually on my birthday on a Sunday this year. So nice, I don't know, I might have to do it. Yeah,
I have at Kansas City on my birthday. I don't know if I'll be able
there. You go.
Well, happen, hopefully, I don't know if that one's going to end well for you. Hopefully,
no.
So most of the early predictions seem to have the Raiders at 10-6 or 11-5, something in that range. So I mean, it's obviously early to say with too much confidence. But Eddie, does that sound kind of reasonable to you as of right now?
Yeah, I just think I mean, look, we're going to go into the team's going to go into the season with really high expectations. Nobody expected 12 wins last year. You know, and everybody talks about the strength of schedule, how hard the schedule looks on paper, but you never know year to year what team's up, what team's down, injuries and all that. So, I mean, I think a fair, you know, you want, I think a 10-6 number is kind of lowballing a little bit. I think, you know, you expect to go into the year a team that's going to be 11-5 with a loss here and there that you don't expect. And a good year, you could do 12-4, possibly 13-3. I mean, look, guys, I mean, 12-4 last year, like I said, you know, how could you expect anything less than them to take another step with the pieces they've added, especially now that we have the draft coming up?
Ryan, what do you think about that in terms of the schedule? Seeing as the Raiders were 12-4 last year, obviously a fantastic record. I mean, if they go 11-5 or 10-6, you know, by record, that's a little bit of a regression. How do you think the fan base is going to handle that? Do you think that, you know, is not necessarily a bad thing if they have an extra loss than they had last year?
Yeah, I mean, I think this fan base is, you know, we as a team got really close last year, so we've kind of seen, you know, kind of the window opening up. So you know, getting a taste of that 12 win season, I think this fan base is going to lose its mind, man, even if we hit, you know, 11 wins or something like that. So obviously the bar's been set really high. To Eddie's point, I'm just going to add, obviously this team is going to go as far as number four takes them. So Derek's healthy, I think, you know, enters the season healthy, stays healthy, I think you can comfortably set the bar at 10 wins, assuming Derek continues to ascend and again stays healthy. Gave him some weapons this offseason, got the draft coming up. So I think 10 wins is probably a pretty safe floor. Things clicking, things are clicking. Reggie hits on another one or two, three draft picks. You could probably see, you know, 12 wins again, 13 wins. So,
All right. So one last topic before we get to the draft, we got to talk about Marshawn, of course. Yeah. So the recent reports, just to get kind of everyone up to speed, make sure we're on the same page. The recent reports say that Marshawn, he wants half of what he would have had, which was a $9 million salary. So $4.5 million is what he's looking for. McKenzie is willing to pay him a third of that. So a third of $9 million is $3 million. So that makes the two sides about a million and a half apart. You know, I'm not a math major, but I think that adds up. So, Eddie, do you think draft day is the deadline for Marshawn? And do you think that this deal gets done?
See, I don't think it's the deadline, guys. Well, let me take the first part. The second part first. I think this deal ultimately does get done. It's just my view is, you know, Marshawn is the total enigma. You don't never know what this guy's going to do on a daily basis, and I don't think he knows what he's going to do on a daily basis. I just think, you know, someone had said it, and I'll steal a term from him. It's kind of sticker shock for Marshawn a little bit. You know, he left the game kind of, I know he had injuries and stuff like that, but he left the game as one of the premier backs in football, and now he's coming back a year later. And a team's like, hey, you know, we're not going to pay you what you think you're going to pay. We're going to pay you this. So I think, you know, the Adrian Peterson deal helps. You know, he sees what AP got. Maybe he's more likely to say, all right, I'll come back for that. But I think initially it was kind of sticker shock for Marshawn saying, hey, I went out making nine. How come when I come back I'm making three? You know, I'm sure there's a little bit of pride that goes into that. So I think it ultimately will get done. I don't know if the draft is the hard deadline. I mean, if they take a running back in the fourth or fifth round, does that really mean that they're not going to, you know, sign Marshawn for a year? I mean, I don't think that's going to deter anything unless they go a running back in round one and two. Mm-hmm. So I don't think the draft is the drop dead deadline until they line up on Sunday in the first week. Marshawn might be there, but I do ultimately think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I do agree with your point about the Adrian Peterson deal. That's something I wanted to touch on. I do think that contract probably sets the market specifically for Marshawn. I mean, both guys are, what, 31, 32 years old. They are both coming off of injuries in the last season that they played and a little bit of declining production. So, you know, very largely similar. So hopefully, you know, Marshawn can look at that $3 or $3.5 million AP, you know, received and be okay with that, and they can get this thing wrapped up. But Ryan,
I just don't think you ever really know. Like, even his agent came out, Doug Henderson, and tweeted that, you know, only Marshawn knows what Marshawn wants. So I mean, he might want to come back and play, but he might tomorrow wake up and be like, you know what, I don't want to play for $3 million. I'm done.
Is that a concern for you? Because I have seen some people mention that, you know, if he is only, you know, halfway invested, you know, is that really a player that you want to sign if he's not going to be 100%, you know, if he's on the fence about it? Is that something that concerns you?
No, I don't think so. I think if he's back, he's back. I think if he really wasn't invested, I don't think he'd even think about coming back. I mean, because obviously he's not doing it for the money. You know, he probably wants to just play for his hometown team, or maybe misses the game a little bit. So I think if he's back, he's back. But, you know, I just don't think, you know, this would be a nice addition. It would be a good story. I just don't think this is a make or break. You know, I think it would be disappointing for not to happen. I just don't think it's a make or break for this team at this point. It's not like not signing Marshawn Lynch is going to set this team back a decade. Agreed. I mean, this guy is, yeah, you know, he'll bring a toughness. He'll bring an attitude that they lack. But I just don't think this is – he's not the missing piece, I should say.
Okay. So Ryan, so Eddie said that he doesn't feel that the draft is the deadline for Marshawn. So let's say he's not on board heading into Saturday morning, the day three of the draft. The first three rounds are in the books, and the Raiders have not drafted a back yet. Would they have to take a back on day three, just not knowing what Marshawn's status is going to be? Or do you think maybe they could just wait it out and hope they can still get a deal done after the draft? Or do you think what Eddie said, I think he had mentioned that, take a back still, you know, regardless of what's going to happen with Marshawn, it's not going to deter you from whether or not, you know, you sign him.
Yeah, that's pretty much the boat that I sit in, regardless of what happens with Marshawn. Me personally, I really like, you know, kind of the rounds 3 to 5 kind of range. I think there's going to be, you know, 4 or 5 different backs there that are going to present some really good, you know, value and kind of fit what McKenzie and the Raiders want to do as far as, you know, pounding the rock and being physical. So I think regardless of where Marshawn, you know, stands, if he signed, if he's not, I think Oakland should definitely pursue and hopefully pull, you know, the trigger on it back in round 4 or round 5, whatever the case may be. I think on the kind of the flip side of that, McKenzie, in my opinion, isn't the type of GM that's gonna, you know, press the panic button or force himself to, okay, now I don't have Marshawn, so now I have to have him back. I think he's going to let the board come to him. And again, I think it's a good draft to kind of let that happen as far as the running back position is concerned.
Okay, I'll go back to you actually on this one. We all know that you've got Christian McCaffrey as the lock screen on your phone.
Here we go.
But he doesn't figure to be available at 24. I mean, he might not even be available outside of the top 10 based on kind of the latest buzz. So outside of the young handsome prince, as you call him, let's talk about some of those round 3, 4, 5 guys you just kind of hinted at.
I think one of my at the combine he didn't test well at all, but I'm still a really big Jamal Williams fan. He's kind of the quote unquote big back that I would target. I know a majority of Raiders Twitter and draft Twitter in general is really big on Foreman out of Texas. He might end up going a little bit earlier, maybe end of round 2, early round 3. So maybe not an option in that round 3 to 4 range for Oakland. But if he's there, I think he's going to be someone that, you know, McKenzie's probably gonna end up looking at. My personal favorite is probably Aaron Jones out of UTEP. He's probably gonna be going, you know, I'm thinking round 5, anywhere between rounds 5 and 6, something like that. Tested really, really well. Really good hands. Just kind of the total package as far as a running back is concerned. I think the biggest knock on him is the fact that he played at Texas El Paso. So out of those three names right there, I think Oakland's definitely going to have a chance at some point.
Eddie, how about you? What running backs have caught your eye so far, regardless of round, maybe mid, late, I mean, wherever?
Yeah, I saw Kareem Hunt, obviously, down at the Senior Bowl. I was really impressed with him. He's mm-hmm. a smaller guy. Not really small, but 5'10 and a half, but he runs really low. He gets his pads low. I liked him a lot. I thought Ryan was going to mention James Conner from Pitt as one of those bigger backs. Mm-hmm. He kind of reminds me of Latavius a little bit, body-wise. He's a little bit taller. Doesn't really use his pads well, but he's that big bruiser running back that you like. And I kind of dig Corey Clement out of Wisconsin, too. I know he's kind of slid down the draft boards a little bit, but I like his production. And, you know, those are some of the guys I like. But see, I keep coming back to the fact, you know, and everybody keeps mentioning running back as a need. And yeah, we'll pick one later rounds. I just, if they don't come out of this draft without a, you know, if they come out of the draft without a running back, I'm really not going to cry. I mean, I just think mm-hmm. this, you know, this team with Rashard and Washington and Reddy's ability to find, you know, guys late, maybe an undrafted guy or a free agent veteran off the block, whether it's Marshawn or somebody else. I really don't think, unless they wow the world and go Mixon at 24, which I highly doubt, I just yep. don't think running back is really, and I know Ryan disagrees with me on this, I don't think running back is a real, real need for this team. I think with more carries, Rashard and Washington are going to get better. They both had over 500 yards last year. They can catch the ball out of the backfield. I mean, I don't know if you guys agree with me. I just don't think this team is looking, you know, I keep seeing I tweeted this out a little while ago. I mean, Dalvin Cook makes absolutely no sense for this football team when you have guys like Rashard and Washington team. I don't know if you guys agree. To me, it just doesn't make sense.
I'm with you, actually, on that. I don't feel like running back is that great of a need, even outside of Marshawn. if the Raiders do take a back, I definitely hope that it's going to be a late round guy or another undrafted free agent, especially just based on McKenzie's track record there. Just a couple names for me to throw out real quick. I put together an article on Just Blog Baby that went live this morning, where I looked at size and athletic thresholds of McKenzie's draft history, and I tried to use that to find guys that in this draft class that kind of fit the mold at each position. And at running back, there was one running back that checked every single box based on McKenzie's draft history of running backs, and that's Jeremy McNichols from Boise State. Only thing that he did not pass on was that he's an underclassman. 37 out of McKenzie's 41 picks have been seniors. McNichols is an underclassman, but he played 3 years at Boise State, so that does carry some weight. And then the other one was Chris Carson out of Oklahoma State. So those guys, size, speed-wise, fit what I found based on McKenzie's draft history. So those are some names to watch, I think. But let's move on to wide receiver. Ryan, yes or no, are the Raiders going to be drafting a receiver? And if so, name a couple players to consider in what round you think they might go in.
Again, I think Seth Roberts is kind of the name that always comes up as far as, you know, whenever you look at the position and perhaps a place to kind of get better. Really, really frustrating player at times, but he has come up clutch as well. I think Derek Carr's got a really good, you know, connection with him, for better or for worse. So I think that kind of, you know, might give McKenzie a little bit of pause. But again, I'm of the mind that McKenzie's looking to target the best player available, you know, regardless of round, regardless of position. So I would like to say yes, that, you know, wide receiver, you know, ends up slipping a little bit. You know, McKenzie would end up pouncing on him. Again, definitely, certainly not a quote-unquote need compared to, you know, a handful of other positions out here. But if you can get a player, specifically someone to kind of run with Seth in the slot, kind of compete there. I think, you know, Taywan Taylor out of Western Kentucky is a name that you're going to hear a lot. For me, one of my personal favorites is Ryan Switzer out of North Carolina, kind of a smaller slot wide out. Again, he's going to get Wes Welker comps and Amendola comps, et cetera, but just
all the
really,
white guys.
Really, all, any single white wide receiver is who he's going to be comp to, but just a really, really good set of hands and really, really physical for obviously like a 5'8", 5'9" wide out.
Gritty. Gritty is the word you're looking for.
Gritty, you know, always, he's always in his playbook.
Yeah, Eddie, wide receiver, are the Raiders going to be taking a wide receiver in any of the rounds?
I think they might, I kind of agree with Ryan a little bit, it might be an undrafted guy, but I could see the one taking mid-round. Real quick, a funny Switzer story. We did a listener mock draft on Moving the Chains last Friday, had, you know, each team represented by a different fan. The dude picking for the Ravens at 16 picked Ryan. Now, usually we don't get crazy picks. Usually guys are pretty in the ballpark. The guy at 16 picked Ryan Switzer for the Ravens.
Oh, boy.
He's got to be like a Ravens / North Carolina fan, right? He has to be.
Yeah.
It's got to be like his brother.
Yeah, I think he kind of was familiar with Switzer's family, but the wrath of Twitter came down on him pretty hard.
Oh, man.
It was pretty wild. The guys I like, one of the guys that we just had on that really impressed me was Chris Godwin from Penn State.
Yeah,
he's one of my favorites.
That's the boy.
Yeah, yep. He was polished, you know, speaking. I think he's got the size at 6'1". And then another guy that I mentioned on the podcast before, Josh Reynolds from Texas A&M. I think he's a guy that could be another Andre Holmes, but better. A bigger red zone target. He's got almost 6'3". And size like that. So I think those are two guys. I don't think you'll see a wide receiver in the first five rounds. But if you could, you know, wait till the undrafted type of guys, maybe Travis Rudolph from Florida State or guys like that, later on if he doesn't pick. And there's one other guy too that, I don't know how you say his first name, Stringfellow from Mississippi.
Yeah.
He's another guy. He's another guy on my radar. Yep. He's another guy that had some off the field stuff, but it's very talented.
Yeah, those guys are always intriguing. I mean, he was a big-time recruit that didn't pan out as he had hoped there at Mississippi State. So someone like that would be interesting. My favorite token white guy in the draft is Chad Hansen, actually, from Cal. I think he's got the best size and speed combo. He's like 6'2", 210. About an average to above average athlete in some categories, but he did very, very well in the three cone.
Pro Football Focus, when they do their scouting reports, if anyone, you know, is in the Pro Football Focus, takes their word for you know as the Bond. Word, so to speak. Yeah, as Bond. Man, they, at the end of their scouting report, man, again, really, really intriguing. Their pro player comparison for Chad Hansen was Demaryius Thomas, which I thought was a little bit interesting.
That's not right.
I don't know. Again, they have a little blurb about it there, but man, I remember scrolling through. I'm like, that's not the name that I would have picked out there, but it's very, very interesting regardless.
Okay, well, I mean, I like him. And then the second one that I jumped out at me based on that same article I referred to was Robert Davis from Georgia State, small school guy, but size and speed guy. I think he could be
someone that the Raiders can
look at, yeah, in like the seventh round, UDFA kind of type. Same question for tight end position. So, Eddie, yes or no, do you see the Raiders drafting a tight end? If so, what round and who you got?
I don't think so. I really don't think this is a need for this football team. They got, obviously, signed Jared Cook. Now, I don't expect Jared Cook to come in and be a world saver. I still worry about him dropping passes. But I think he could bring a different element to this team. They got Clive Wolford. You know, obviously, he hasn't been the same since the injury, but, you know, he's still a young player that can grow. And they still got Lee Smith, who could be that guy that's really going to come in and block, and he'll come back from that injury. So I really don't think this team is going to target a tight end in the drafts, even though this draft is absolutely loaded with tight ends. I think, to be honest, guys, I don't know if you guys agree. I mean, obviously, OJ and Njoku. I think Evan Engram is going to sneak into the first round.
That's my boy.
That's a guy that's not really a tight end. He's basically a wide receiver. So I think three tight ends in round one. There's tons of talent. I just don't think it's a need for this football team.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. An elite tight end could make this offense elite, absolutely. But I don't see tight end being in play here. Gabe Holmes is a player that I know Reggie McKenzie, for whatever reason, is a big fan of. Just signed him to his exclusive rights tender. So this will be the third season in a row Gabe Holmes is going to get a shot here. So between the three tight ends that you mentioned and Holmes, that's four. So I just don't see another player being brought into the mix. Brian, do you have... are you in agreement there, or is like Evan Engram the one guy you'd make an exception for? What do you feel about that?
No, I think, I mean, again, I think if a player, you know, depending again, however Reggie values these guys, but I think if someone like Engram is high on their board and he ends up slipping, I think there's definitely going to be at least, some sort of debate in the war room, you know, where is this guy going to come off the board right here? I think you always find room for talent, but I definitely agree with you guys. I just don't think that, you know, it's going to warrant it, at least not early. Again, like Eddie said, it's a really, really deep class. So you can see some of these really athletic type players, Gerald Everett, Kit Smith out of Florida International, whose girlfriend dumped the hot water over him. He's I think these guys are just these dudes are jumping out of the gym, man. And
what was that story?
Bro, I don't know, man. It was that. You didn't hear that? It was last year, man.
No,
yeah.
I didn't hear that.
It was like this dude Jonnu Smith, I think his pregnant girlfriend, they were arguing about something. This chick dumped a bucket of boiling water over this dude's head, and he was like knocked out for the rest of the season or some shit. It was crazy. Yeah, but I guess so. That aside, I think this class is really, really deep. Really, it's just filled with athletes, man. I don't think we've seen a class of tight ends this just athletically talented. You know what I mean? So there's definitely going to be some value late, but again, I imagine some other positions are just going to just obviously, you know, take precedent over that. So
offensive line doesn't get talked about as much for the draft because it's never a sexy pick, but Raider Nation should know better than anyone the importance of a dominant offensive line. So let's say Cam Robinson or maybe another top tackle is there at 24, whoever you have as your top tackle. The Raiders, they could shore up the right side of the line immediately and potentially have a left tackle in the future to replace Donald Penn. So Eddie, do you think if this scenario played out, do you think this would be Reggie McKenzie's ideal scenario if there was a tackle on the board?
I don't know if it would be. I mean, my colleague at SiriusXM, Gil Brandt, said this quite possibly could be the worst offensive line draft he could remember. And
yeah,
that's saying
bad.
Something because he's seen a lot. I mean, seen every draft. So yeah. I really don't know if any of these tackles have, you know, are warranted at 24. I'm going to go on a record right here, boys. Obviously, this will be, you know, for posterity, people could be able to hear this. I think Zach Banner from USC is going to be the Raiders' third round pick.
Ooh.
I just think
that's gross, Eddie.
The, I know. I with the Lincoln Kennedy bloodlines, I just think, they're going to have a soft spot for him. Yeah, I hope not. But, I mean, he's a guy, he's not coming in. He's not replacing
him. He's huge.
In that left tackle. I think he, he's kind of like an Austin Howard type guy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just, that's my gut instinct. I hope I'm totally wrong, but
me too,
I'm going to go on record with that right now.
Yeah, he's an Austin Howard type guy. Isn't exactly winning anyone over with that argument.
It's just not a glowing review.
No, he is big. I'll give him that. But he was probably the worst athlete at the entire combine for offensive linemen.
Yeah, but a lot of people said that about Donald Penn. Man, a lot of people said bad body, bad footwork. You know what I mean? Like
You never know.
I just don't think 24. I don't think 24. In this draft is the place to get a left tackle. I think they could pass and find a guy later. If not, revisit this next year.
Okay. Ryan, what do you think? You passing at left tackle if it's like Cam Robinson or one of the other top guys?
Yeah, I mean, generally speaking, I don't watch a ton of offensive tackle film. I just don't find that enjoyable personally. But I did end up watching a good bit of Cam Robinson, dude Garrett Bowles out of Utah, who's I think 24 or 25 already, so that's kind of the big knock on him, and the dude from Wisconsin, Ryan Ramczyk, I think is how you pronounce his last name.
Ramczyk.
We'll go with that.
Yeah, Ram. There you go. So I think the knock on him is obviously he just either is having or just had hip surgery. But other than that, I think he was probably prior to the surgery, I think he was kind of widely regarded as the best tackle in this class. Again, tackle is never ever a sexy pick, but I think Reggie McKenzie's been on record before saying that obviously he looks to build in the trenches. I would prefer a handful of other names before him, but right now I definitely wouldn't be mad at Cam Robinson at 24. I think you put him on the right side, right, off the bat, and again down the road probably transition him over to the left side whenever Donald Penn walks away. Again, not a sexy pick. Probably a little further down the list of needs if you're going by that alone. But at the end of the day, I think Cam's a good player. So again, I think depending how the board falls, I think there's going to be but the possibility that he's sitting there. So.
So I found two offensive linemen that match size, speed, arm length, three-cone drill, all that stuff that match McKenzie's thresholds for his previous offensive line picks, and those guys were Taylor Moten from Western Michigan and Connor McDermott from UCLA. They checked every single box, 100%. They're the only two. And then two others that were very close were Will Holden from Vanderbilt and Deion Dawkins from Temple. Dawkins is kind of intriguing to me because some people think he's going to be a guard, and he's played both. And
I love
we've got Deion. Four or five guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got four or five guys that play both guard and tackle. He's a guy that checks pretty much every single box, and he loves that versatility. So Deion Dawkins is a late round guy. I think wouldn't be surprised if he called.
Dude, I'm sorry, bro. I think Deion Dawkins is going to be a second round pick.
Oh, really? That early?
Dawkins, dude. We had this guy on. He literally, he is just exact. That is the perfect world. He is nasty. He's like me and Reddick when each other, went at each other's throats. I tried to kill him on the field every single day.
Holy shit!
I know offensive line coaches that love this guy. I think maybe third round, but this guy is going to be an early draft pick. A lot of teams love him.
Yeah, I actually hadn't watched him until his name popped up on my research, and I put a couple games on. And he was just mauling people, so
yeah,
that does not surprise me one bit. I just saw that. I think CBS or someone had him kind of as a late round guy, but so good to know on that. So let's shift gears, go to the defensive side of the ball. So Eddie, when you were on the podcast last time, we talked about Malik McDowell. We haven't talked about him too much in depth since then, but let's just kind of reiterate what your stance was on Malik McDowell, or at least maybe what you've heard.
Well, I know Ryan's not going to be a big fan of my.
we've had a conversation or two before.
I just from guys that I trust, on Malik Dow, and guys that I've talked to, whether it's at the combine or the owners' meetings, Malik McDowell, while talented, is not a guy that you really want on a young football team, on the cusp of greatness. I just think this guy has too much work to do on the field and off the field. He doesn't work hard when he plays. When he does want to play, yeah, he's special and he can do different things. And not to mention, guys, I think, and people have said this to me too, they think his position at the next level is going to be defensive end. So, I mean, are really going to take a guy, yeah, we want that interior pressure. Yeah, he can kick down and get inside as well. Mm-hmm. I just don't think another defensive lineman that might not love football that much at 24, I just think it's a risky pick. I really do. Mm-hmm. I just don't think, you know, if he turns out to be a really good interior guy or an average guy, great. If he turns out to be Robert Condici, you know, who doesn't get it after his first year, you know what I mean? What if he gets it in year three? Then you have him and Jahad Ward on this line, whether he takes the next step. And you just keep on getting these guys that, yeah, have talent, but maybe don't have the motor or stuff like that. I just think, you know, from what I've heard, not a lot of people are fans of this guy's ability to, you know, put his heart and soul into the game.
Ryan, so are you just a proponent of just taking the best talent available that's there at 24, and that's probably why you would lean towards taking McDowell? I mean, depending on how the board shakes out, of course.
Yeah, I mean, again, just off of tape alone, again, I talk to guys like Eddie that are obviously a lot more in the know as far as, you know, what's going on behind closed doors, coaching staffs, front offices, et cetera, et cetera. So I take their word very seriously. Eddie's not the first person to kind of allude to these, you know, character type concerns, off the field type concerns with someone like Malik McDowell. So just for me, I'm sitting here just having fun watching tape. For me, he's one of like the top 5-10-ish type players in this class. I think he's super talented. I think Lance Z from NFL.com, I think he mentioned something in his blurb where his ceiling potentially is kind of Mario Williams-ish, kind of somewhere in the round. But you got the complete, you know, it's kind of a coin flip, so there's not a lot of certainty there. So you can get Mario Williams, or you're getting someone like Eddie said, you know, Robert Condici, who's just obviously not at all living up to that first round selection. So again, super, super polarizing. For me, from where I sit, I'm going pure talent, and I think McDowell definitely checks those boxes, but you know, there's a lot more homework that needs to be done kind of behind the scenes, and I wouldn't be upset in that regard if McKenzie, you know, passes based on those kind of character flags either. So
say real quick before you move on, I just people are like, well, you know, Jack and the coaching staff can get out of him. Guys, right. You know this. You either love football or you don't.
No, that's
you're
fair.
Not gonna
absolutely.
Go out there. You're not gonna go out there and Jack Del Rio's and be like, hey, we need
light
you to
bulb
work
goes
hard.
Off,
like,
right?
Yeah, he's gonna be like, oh, okay, yeah, all right. You either you love it or you don't. I don't think that could be coached. I think that's just inside a guy, and that, you know, from what I hear, I just don't think it's inside him. Well, I agree with you with your stuff. I just, yeah, that's how I feel.
Yeah, and I think McKenzie's kind of gone out of his way to really dig down into these draft picks, into these kids, and I think he values that. It's kind of cliche. I'm sure every GM, every coach values it, but I think Reggie McKenzie's one that really emphasizes just your passion to essentially eat, sleep, breathe, think everything is football with these kids. So I think McKenzie's, like I said, gone out of his way to really target these kids early. And again, I think given the information that, you know, isn't readily available to a lot of us, I think, you know, it's very possible that McDowell, I think McDowell's either going to go, you know, kind of 15 to 20 or something like that, or he might not go until like the end of the second round or something like that.
Let's stick with the D-line here and focus on the first three rounds. Defensive end or defensive tackle, Eddie, do you have a handful of names that you like for Oakland?
Yeah, defensive tackle. I mean, obviously a guy that I targeted for the second round and possibly third was Caleb Brantley out of Florida. Obviously, that's not the case anymore since he decides to punch women in the face and knock teeth out. So he's going to slide down the boards a little bit. The guy I loved and I mentioned on the pod before is Dalvin Tomlinson out of Alabama. Obviously, Jonathan Allen gets all the praise, but Tomlinson is a guy that could be disruptive inside. He's a guy that loves football and a guy that is really, really intelligent. So I love Tomlinson possibly in the third round. There's a couple of guys too, Jaleel Johnson out of Iowa. Another Senior Bowl guy that I like a lot, and Eddie Vanderdoes from UCLA are guys that could take late. Defensive end, you know, there's a couple guys, and one guy in particular, and yeah, as you guys might see, the guys that we have on the show, I might be a little more, you know, a little more warm to.
A little biased.
Obviously, you got the big guys that are going to go in top pass of the first round. Two guys that really stand out to me, Jordan Willis from Kansas State.
That's the one.
Yeah, this guy is polished, man. This guy is going to come in from day one and really be one of the top, a leader in the football team, a guy that can get on the edge. You know, he's a little bit stiff, but I think he can come around that edge. And two, and a guy that I think has a really, really, really big ceiling is DeMarcus Walker out of Florida State.
Interesting.
This guy had 26 sacks the past two seasons. Production's off the charts. He admitted to us that he took plays off. He's like, look, guys, I'll admit it, that I took a couple plays off. I wasn't in shape. But when this guy wants to, this guy could be an elite defensive end, and obviously doing it at Florida State, one of the top schools. So that guy, you know, he's a third-round grad right now. I think you have to think long and hard about that guy, and he freaking loves the game. So I think Willis and DeMarcus Walker at Florida State, two guys that really caught my eye from the defensive end spot.
So you'll be pleased to know, actually, Eddie, for the defensive tackles, actually, with some of that research I was doing, Eddie Vanderdoes, Dalvin Tomlinson were two of the defensive tackles out of, like, only three or four that checked every single box for McKenzie's defensive tackles that he's drafted, and there's been a handful, so there's some good sample size there. So nice, they definitely stand out, and I could absolutely see them in silver and black. Same for Jordan Willis. Ryan, what do you got on the first three rounds for defensive line? You like Jordan Willis quite a bit, right? As early as 24?
I do. Yeah, I think for me, Jordan Willis is in play at 24 overall. To Eddie's point, on tape, he does look stiff at times, and it was really interesting to see him test because he was one of the best athletes, you know, as far as jumping, 40 time, et cetera, period. So completely kind of made you kind of go back and kind of look at the tape in a completely different, through a different lens. So I think Willis, it won't surprise me if he's even gone before 24. I think his stock is really, really hot right now. Everything that I've been hearing, kind of seeing, reading, all that stuff. So Willis for me is definitely the edge that I'm targeting early. A kid that I like mid to late, or excuse me, probably rounds 3 to 4. Trey Hendrickson out of I want to say it's Florida Atlantic. Just really, really good production. You know, probably doesn't have as many, you know, tools as some of these other early round kids, but just a kid that can just rush the passer. So he's someone that I like kind of in that round four or so range. As far as defensive tackle, the only name I'm going to add, because I'm still kind of a big Jaleel fan myself, probably round 3 or 4. The only other name I want to add, probably round 2 or 3, is this kid, Larry Ogunjobi, I believe is how you say his last name, out of North Carolina, Charlotte. Kind of in that Sheldon Rankins type mold. So I think he's going to go a lot earlier than a lot of people kind of suspect. I don't think he's a sleeper anymore, but I don't think he's a kid that a lot of people are talking about. So for me, I think he's going to slot right in the middle and kind of provide that interior pressure that we've been missing for the past couple seasons.
Okay. One more name I want to throw out there is Chris Wormley, who is actually my favorite of the Michigan defensive lineman. Yep. I like him. I like him better than Taco. Myself.
Dude, I feel like there's people talking about him, and he might go day one as well.
Good. That'd be we'll see. Eddie, you got any sleepers on the D line, fifth round, sixth round, anything in that range?
One guy that I absolutely love is kind of off the beaten path a little bit. He wasn't even a combine invite, but it's Hunter Dimmick from Utah. Okay, this is a guy, he's 6'3", 268. We had two offensive linemen come on and tell us that he was the toughest guy they faced all year last year. A guy with an absolutely crazy motor who had the production. He had 14 sacks last year in his senior season. So, you know, I think probably maybe a 6th, 7th undrafted guy, but a guy that will come in day one and play good on special teams and definitely will come in like a crazy wild man if he ever played.
You got anything, Ryan?
Nah, man, I think we covered it.
Okay, I got just two I want to mention for defensive ends that kind of popped up on some of my research was Deshaun Hall from Texas A&M and Dietrich Wise out of Arkansas. Looks like most draft outlets have those guys slotted somewhere around the 5th or so round. They both checked every single box that McKenzie has for defensive ends. So two guys that I wouldn't be surprised, you know, seeing get drafted. So let's move over to the linebacker position though.
Everyone wants a linebacker, man.
Specifically, yep, the inside linebacker. That's all the rage right now. So rank these players for me. Ryan, you can go first. So Jerod Davis, Zach Cunningham, Raekwon McMillan, how would you rank those three?
I got Raekwon, I got Zach, and I got Davis in that order for me.
Wow.
2, 3. Wow. Okay. Eddie, what do you got?
No Davis love, man.
I got Reuben Foster, Reuben Foster, Reuben Foster.
There you go.
I actually go the complete opposite. I go Jerod Davis, Zach Cunningham, and Raekwon McMillan.
You know, that's funny because I think I'm going to take the third direction. I'm going to go Raekwon 1, Davis 2, and Cunningham 3. So we got three different answers here.
All different flavors.
A little bit of diversity. Let's talk about Reuben, though, real quick. So he's had kind of a rough draft process.
He's had the worst draft process.
He's got the shoulder surgery, the diluted drug test, the combine incident where he was sent home early.
Yelling at a nurse or interviews.
Yeah, I guess his interviews with teams didn't go so hot, so it's been a rough go for our friend Ruben here. Eddie, do you see him falling, and do you see him falling as far as 24 or possibly later?
I don't see him falling past. I don't see him falling to 24. I think he'll fall to the teens. I want to say 13 to 17 range. To me, guys, this is the one player in the 2017 NFL draft that if I had to write down that the Raiders absolutely needed to have, or you know, should be the number one guy on their board, it's Reuben Foster, because obviously he fills a need at middle linebacker. He brings the attitude, he brings the playmaking ability that this team, you know, the biggest knock on guys like Zach Cunningham, Raekwon McMillan, and guys like that, and Gerard Davis, is when you pick a linebacker in the first round, you want him to be an impact linebacker. You want him to come in and absolutely, you know, Luke Kuechly, take over the game, type of guy. And I think Foster is that run and hit linebacker. Yeah, he might be a little bit nuts. Yeah, he might smoke a little weed. But I just think this guy is exactly, if you had a pen out what the Raiders need in the draft, this guy is exactly what they needed. And if he falls to, you know, if the fall is on from 15 to 16, I know it's not, and I know it's hearsay to say Reggie trades up. I know people might get really mad at me because Reggie doesn't do that. But I mean, to me, I think it's a no-brainer to try to get up and get this guy. I really think he's a game-changing linebacker this team desperately needs.
Yeah, that was I was going to ask you that question, Eddie. I know. In Reggie's, you know, pre-draft presser, he said, "Yeah, you know, I have no problem jumping up and grabbing these guys." When everything else he said or done in the past is completely, you know, opposite of that. So me personally, just sitting here and watching and listening to what this guy says, I don't believe any of that. So I don't know what your spin on that is. Do you think there's any sort of, you know, weight to that at all?
Yeah, I mean, look, they wouldn't be doing their due diligence if a guy fell, you know, to 18 and had an offer, and Reggie's like, "Well, I don't want to give up a pick." I mean, if you think he's that type of player,
sure,
you give up the pick to go up and get him, regardless if you have guys targeted. I just think, I don't know if you guys agree. I mean, put Reuben Foster, I think, honestly, and we probably said this about Rolando McClain, so, you know, shame on all of us, but I think this guy really was born to play middle linebacker for the Raiders. I think he's just the perfect guy, and if he starts to slip a little bit, now if he's there at 24, I think it's the biggest no-brainer there's ever been. They better get the card in like 10 seconds.
Man, hypothetically, what if he's there at 24 and Reggie goes another direction, man? What the hell happens then?
I was just about to say that, because I absolutely can see that happening. I mean, remember what happened with Miles Jack last year? He was kind of the thing. Like, if he falls to 14, no way the Raiders
pass on
him.
There's no way, right?
Him.
Yeah,
and they did. So
you might see smoke coming out of Philadelphia, and me starting to like play stuff all around. I just think Miles Jack is a little bit different because, I mean, Al Jack was dealing with obviously more injury
things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I just, on paper, it makes too much sense for this team to pass on a guy like that.
All right, so let's say 24 doesn't happen for a linebacker for whatever reason. Either they're off the board or McKenzie decides to wait. Eddie, you have any mid or late round inside linebackers? I mean, they got to find somebody to plug this hole here.
Yeah, I like Anthony Walker out of Northwestern, a guy that played
play.
In the Big Ten and kind of, you know, really had the production there too. One guy I like, two guys I like actually, Ben Gideon out of Michigan. I think, you know, the problem is how many Ben Heaneys can you have on the football team, that type of thing. And I know Reggie loves him some fourth and fifth round linebackers.
Yeah.
So Ben Gideon, I know he might not get drafted. I love Ben Boulware from Clemson. I just look at him as another Chris Borland type of guy.
Interesting.
You know, a good sideline to sideline guy. But you know, those are the type of guy. And then Alex Anzalone too, from Florida.
He's one of mine.
Yeah, another outside linebacker guy. But you know, he's got the injury stuff. You know, would Reggie pull the trigger on another linebacker? They got Jelani Jenkins now. I mean, they have guys that are coming off injury. Would you pull the trigger on another injury-prone linebacker coming off some stuff? The guy's talented, no doubt, but I don't know if he'd be able to pull a trigger on another guy like that.
Ryan, so what do you got for your inside linebackers?
No, I mean Eddie touched on Walker out of Northwestern. He's, you know, someone that I would target as early as maybe the third round or something like that. The only name I want to add probably to that list is Blair Brown out of Ohio. I think the biggest, you know, quote unquote knock on him is he's a bit, you know, smaller in stature, so probably gonna have maybe some coverage type issues running with tight ends or whatever like that. But the dude's just really smart, really instinctive, really good, you know, coming downhill, solid tackler, kind of checks every other box that you want out of your linebacker. Just, you know, you would like him to be maybe like an inch or two taller, but someone that you could probably get in the fourth or fifth or fifth round. It's just another name to throw out there.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Actually, I think when we had Tyler on the podcast last week, our native New Zealander, I think he had Blair Brown in his top five. Yeah. So seems maybe a little rich for some, but he's a great athlete. Yeah, and he does a lot of things well. I'm kind of intrigued by Hardy Nickerson. Maybe just for the NFL pedigree, could just be his name, but seems like a, you know, quality athlete, and like a thumper. And I think Reggie McKenzie likes those types of linebackers. So fifth, sixth round, you know, he's a guy I could definitely see happening. So let's move over to the outside linebacker. So Ryan, name a couple of guys here that you like, any round, top, bottom of the draft, wherever.
No, so Eddie touched on dude out of Florida, Anzalone, who obviously has a little bit of an injury history himself. I think one of my personal favorites from early last year was Jalen Reeves-Maben out of Tennessee. So he's got the whole Tennessee thing going for him. Obviously Reggie, Tennessee, et cetera. The biggest thing, of course, is he's got an injury history of his own. I still contend without the injury that knocked him out last season, I think we'd be talking about this kid, you know, late day one. He's really, really good. I think you're going to get him probably in the fourth round or so. So, and again, one of my personal favorites. And then you could probably go to the top of the list, of course, you know, Reddick and Tyus Bowser and stuff like that. But I think those kids are going to be long gone before, you know, either Oakland's on board at 24 or picking at 56. So,
all right, what do you got for the outside, Eddie?
Yeah, like some of the guys Ryan mentioned, I think Bowser's a guy that's really shot up the boards a lot, and people are really starting to like him a lot. I think he can get after the quarterback. A guy that I think that is going to drop in the draft, and they might be able to get in the third, possibly fourth round, is Ryan Anderson at Alabama. You know, this guy had a couple games at Alabama where he absolutely took over the game, one of the games against Clemson he did, where he really just wreaked havoc off the edge. So I really think that's a guy that might drop because his combine numbers weren't terrific, and they might be able to snatch up in a third round or so. But, you know, I like Bowser at the spot in the second round and guys like that.
I think Bowser actually could be in play even as early as 24, honestly. I was looking at him. He checked every single one of the boxes on my McKenzie research. And Ted Nguyen, who we've had on the podcast before, JBB staff writer, likened him quite a bit to Bruce Irvin during the Seattle days, to where he can be a, you know, a pure outside linebacker if you need him to, where he can play against the run, drop back in coverage, and be used as a situational pass rusher. I think that would be great for Oakland right now in the short term, first year or two, and he's got the athleticism to where, you know, perhaps in a year or two, if Irvin gets transitioned out, he can, you know, switch into that full-time pass rusher role if they want him to, or they could, you know, still use him in a variety of ways. So he is someone that I think isn't being talked about at 24 for the Raiders, and I could definitely see him in play there. And then Reeves-Maben, as Ryan mentioned, and then Markel Lee out of Wake Forest, maybe for a mid-late guy as the outside linebacker. So let's talk about the secondary, Ryan. Oh, go ahead. You got something else?
No, I was just going to add I think another name that was kind of getting a lot of buzz maybe, you know, a month or so ago, it's kind of maybe died down a little bit, but Jayon Brown out of UCLA. Oh, yeah. I think he's one of the better cover, you know, linebackers. You could probably play safety if you wanted to. Obviously Oakland's had their issues, long-standing issues with covering the tight end. So I think Brown would kind of be the remedy there. And I think you're probably going to get him, you know, fifth round, sixth round, something like that. So another name to kind of pencil in.
Okay. So Ryan, you've been the most critical of the secondary of the bunch here. So name a handful of players ranging from the top to the bottom of the draft that you'd like to see Oakland take. Let's start with corner.
Yeah, I mean corner for me was, you know, best case scenario was obviously Gerrion Conley. Obviously after today's news that completely changed. Obviously Lattimore's going really, really early. Conley's now off the board. A personal favorite of mine who I think should go in the first round, he probably doesn't go to the top of the second or so, is Owusu out of Colorado for me. You know, I think you could play him anywhere. He's really, really good in the slot. He can play outside. Some even want to push him back to safety. He's a really good blitzer off the edge. Just a really complete, you know, cornerback. Just not a ton of holes in his game. Kind of going scrolling down the list here a little bit more. Tankersley out of Clemson. Probably one of the best resumes, you know, just really just a lockdown kid. Had his fair share of of turnovers as well. I think the biggest knock on him is probably his age. I think I want to say he's either just turned 24 or turning 24. So definitely a little bit of a concern there. Scrolling a little further down the list. Witherspoon, who's a teammate of Owusu out of Colorado, just a really, really good athlete. Kind of some tackling concerns there. And the other one, I'll keep on scrolling here a little bit, a name late now, I think, is DeMonte Kazee out of San Diego State. I think he's been kind of maybe working up the list a little bit more, maybe as high as a third round, fourth round now. But if you see him in the fifth, I think that's a really good value at this point.
All right, Eddie, what do you got for cornerbacks?
Guys, I don't know about you, but I feel like looking at my cornerback sheet here, it's like going to the supermarket when you're hungry. You want everything. you want to grab everything off the list. Seriously, this is going to be the dynamic of the draft for me. I'll give you four names. Garion Conley, Sidney Jones, you have Fabian Moreau, and you have Jordan Lewis from Michigan. Now, these guys are all really, really talented players, mm-hmm. but all have either an injury or off-the-field concerns.
Yep.
It is logical and it is fathomable to think that you could pick off a Sidney Jones in the second round and come back and get Jordan Lewis in the fourth round, and both guys have first-round talent, or vice versa, over mm-hmm. the second round, Fabian Moreau. So I just think this draft is so stacked with defensive backs. To take one at 24, if it's not a, you know, Marshawn Lattimore
sure.
Type of guy, would almost be, you know, I know I've been on the cornerback bandwagon big time, but the more you think about it, there's so much talent. You know, you're making a guy like Akilah Witherspoon. The guy's almost 6'3". He fits the mold of that Seattle DB of guys that Reggie wants. You can get that guy in the second round. I know for a fact the Seahawks love that kid out of Colorado because mm-hmm. of his size. But, you know, I just think, you know, to kind of come back here, there's so much talent. To take a corner at 24 would almost be a sin because there's equal talent where you're picking at 56. There's equal talent all over the place. You can get guys. I myself would take Sidney Jones in the second round because I just think, you know, he's going to come off an ACL. Yeah, he might be a little slow in September. He might miss a couple games. This guy was arguably the number one corner before he got hurt. And you're gonna get him.
You're gonna get him.
57 picks down. So, you know, to kind of wrap up here, I just think, you know, obviously Kevin King and guys like that, Shaquille Griffin out of Central Florida, mm-hmm. another guy that's rising up the boards. Guys, there's so much talent. To take a corner at 24, which we obviously need, wouldn't be the smartest play. I think you can get one. Take two. Take two. Take one in the second. Take one in the third. Or take one in the second and the fourth. Third and fourth. Just take two corners, but just to get to 24, it's not the smart play with so much talent.
That's fair enough.
All right, so for cornerbacks, they more so than every other position had guys that were just checking boxes based on my McKenzie research. So height, weight, speed, arm length, vertical, broad jump, 40, three cone, all that stuff. There's three cornerbacks that checked every single one of those boxes based on McKenzie's draft history. And it might not look like it because of the current cornerbacks that are there, but tall and lengthy cornerbacks is the ammo. McKenzie's all about that Seattle, Green Bay mold there. So the three cornerbacks that checked every single box were Kevin King, Fabian Moreau, and Akello Witherspoon. And then there were three that checked everything except for one box. Shaquille Griffin, good all across the board, except his hand size of all things came a little low, and I think no problem making an exception there. And then Brian Allen from Utah, not a name that is being talked about too much. He was great athlete across the board.
Yeah, receiver.
Just wide receiver convert. He's got some ball skills, just a little bit low on the broad jump. And then Sidney Jones was the other one. The only thing Sidney Jones missed, too, was he was 5 pounds underweight. He's 5 pounds less than what DJ Hayden weighed in at the combine. So those are six names that check pretty much every single box across the board. And definitely guys that I want to see. And I want to see two cornerbacks get added as well, because outside of Smith and Amerson, you know, carries a mixed bag, and it's gets rough from there. So this team absolutely, in my opinion, needs two cornerbacks. So let's move on real quick to the safeties. So Eddie, any of the rounds, who do you like?
Yeah, as we talked about on this pod before, my man crush is Josh Jones from NC State. I just think this guy is your prototypical free safety. I think you can get him in round two, and he'd be a welcome addition. A couple of the guys, obviously we talk about Obi from UConn. He's got, you know, the freak measurables. I like the fact that, you know, he brings the wood and comes down. Could be a box safety. Could be a guy that plays center field. I think he's definitely in play at 24. Sorry, I guess. Buda Baker, obviously we talked about him. Another guy, and a couple other guys that kind of caught my eye as we went through this whole process. Eddie Jackson from Alabama, who has a little bit of an injury history, but will be good to go. And Tedrick Thompson from Colorado, too. Again, with the cornerbacks, I think there's so much safety talent in this draft. You know, if you're going to get a game changer at 24, great. We're not going to get Hooker, Adams, any of those guys. But I just think Mo Fanwu, Josh Jones, you know, those guys would be okay with me in 24 and maybe even second and third round.
Ryan, what do you got?
Yeah, my guy at 24 overall for a while. One of my guys at 24 overall has been Buda. So, I mean, if he's there, man, for me, no-brainer. I think he's going to be there at 24. I'm not sure McKenzie goes that direction. I've heard some talk, you know, of him going in the first. I've heard him slip into day two. For me, for all the players that I've watched as in the safety class, I think Buda's at the top of the list. Scrolling down a little more, I know Eddie loves Josh Jones. I think my crush is dude out of Louisiana Tech, Xavier Woods. Just a really, really well-rounded player. You know, I've seen him line up at corner a little bit. He can play deep. He thumps around the line. So I think, again, a ball hawk, too. So for me, I love Xavier Woods in that 3 to 4 round range. Scrolling a little further down my list here. A kid that's kind of in a Jabril Peppers type mold, just really, really athletic, is this kid Jonathan Ford out of Auburn. You can play him in the box, really athletic, sideline to sideline. Gives you a little versatility if you want to kick Carl back. You know, you can do a lot of things with Jonathan Ford. So,
all right, I've got a couple names to throw out there. Only one safety checked every single box across the board with my research, and that was Obi, of course, one of the best athletes that has ever graced the combine, so no surprise there. But there were two others that were very, very close. Rayshon Jenkins, actually, out of Miami, was extremely close. Every single box he checked except for a 40-yard dash, which the threshold was 4.5 flat, and he ran a 4.51. So we'll give that to him. And then John Johnson out of Boston College, who was just a tad slower on the 40. Those are the only guys that I saw that came close to checking all those safety boxes. So let's move on to some Twitter Q&A. So, Eddie, this question is from L. Hayes 87. Outside of Reuben Foster, can you see Reggie McKenzie trading up for any other prospects? And if so, how far?
I don't think so, guys. I mean, I don't know how you guys feel. Foster, for me, would be a guy that you really want to target. If a Malik Hooker or Jamal Adams fall, which I can't see as top 10, top 15, even top 5 of Jamal Adams, those are the types of guys that I would go up for. But, you know, I'll flip it. I almost rather see – I think that moving back and getting a couple more second-round picks is a more logical than trading up. To me, you know, if it's fake, you know, we're playing Madden here trying to trade up. I trade up for Malik Hooker in a second to get that Ed Reed type of body in here. But I don't think Reggie pulls the trigger on any trades up unless Foster falls to that 15-20 range where he doesn't have to give up a ton. If he has to give up a fourth to move up a couple spots, he'll do it. But giving up that two is going to be like taking his firstborn son.
So one of our staff writers, Gagan Ajla, he wants to know what network you guys prefer for the NFL draft. And I think that's actually a pretty good question.
Come on, you guys know what network.
I'm trying to give you a plug.
Little bias in here.
I'm trying to give you a plug.
I'll tell you this before you go, Ryan. You guys, listen, we all watch ESPN,
an NFL network. I prefer ESPN, but I prefer ESPN with the volume off while listening to
I have a similar comment.
While listening to SiriusXM NFL, obviously I'm biased there, but I if I had to be completely objective, I'll say I prefer ESPN over NFL Network.
Yeah, I think for me, actually, funny enough, I think every year, I don't know if I do it subconsciously or whatever, but I think I watch it on a different network every year. Like, I'll go NFL Network, then I'll go ESPN. I think I watched on NFL Network last year, so I wouldn't be surprised if I got ESPN on the television this year. So,
all right. So, Eddie, this one's for you. Our friends over at Raiders Beat want to know why you root for the wrong New York baseball team.
First of all, I probably mentioned this on the show before, but I fully blame my father for this. when I was growing up, he didn't take me to as many Yankee games as he probably should have. So I ended up going to more Met games with my uncle, and I ended up liking the Mets. I digress. I would have a lot more World Series championships right now if my father did his part. But obviously,
definitely screwed the pooch on that one.
Yeah, seriously.
All right, so Ryan, this one's for you. So at NorCalP wants to know which of these scenarios you prefer: Jerod Davis at 24 and Jabril Peppers at 56, or Malik McDowell at 24 and Raekwon at 56.
Raekwon's probably my favorite player at 56 overall, and again, like I talked about it before, Malik, despite the off-field talk, man, Malik's one of my favorite players in this class, so easy choice here. I'm going Malik and Chef Ray.
All right, let's actually go through some more of these scenarios. I sent out a question from the Twitter page, got a lot of responses about these. I thought they were kind of interesting. So this one is from KJ Herm. So you both can answer if you'd like. So Eddie, we'll start with you. So round one, if Hassan Reddick, Gary and Conley, and Cam Robinson are all on the board, who are you taking there?
I think you take Hassan Reddick. I just think this guy, obviously, shout out the draft boards. And it goes back to my point of not taking a corner at 24. I know Conley's really talented, but I just think you take a guy like Reddick, who could be a disruptive, you know, guy coming off the edge. At Reddick, Irvin, Mack would be pretty dynamic, and you worry about cornerback later. So I take Reddick in that situation.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. Ryan, you taking Reddick there too, or one of the other two?
Yeah, Reddick. I think it's a pretty easy choice. Actually, interesting enough, there was Michael Lombardi over at Ringer dropped his, I think it was his top 10 or 12 draft prospects this week.
14.
And if it's a 14, and think he had Reddick up there at like 7 or something like that. And he said his best case scenario for Reddick was a Von Miller type impact player. So definitely high, really high praise there. Yeah, it's not a bad name to be compared to.
Not as much as Chad Hansen to Demaryius Thomas.
Sure.
That's my new favorite comp, I think. all right, so this one might be a little tougher, I think. So Anik H8030 so wants to know Jerod Davis, Kevin King, or Malik McDowell. So Ryan, go first on this one.
My boy Malik.
Going Malik. Eddie, what about you?
I will stay true to myself and Jerod Davis. And if Malik turns out to be an all-pro, I'll Ryan a steak dinner. But I'll go Jerod Davis in that situation.
You know what? We're going to have three different answers on this one because I'm actually going to go Kevin
that.
King.
I love that.
So Anik's getting a little bit of variety. I just think Jerod Davis, I like him. He's a good athlete. He's a thumper, plays hard, great leader, a lot to like. But
he gets lost, like, man, a lot.
Yeah, he gets lost. He gets stuck in traffic. He's got two surgeries, I think, for a meniscus. He's got shoulder injury. I mean, that guy was on the injury report every single game during his time in Florida. So I just have some serious concerns about him holding up. Honestly, yeah. So that would be my pick there. So let's go with next question from Enorx14. Hassan Reddick, Tre'Davious White, Jerod Davis. Eddie, who you got there?
Reddick again. I'm not the biggest Tre'Davious White fan. I know he's polished. I like taking him in a second more than 24, but I'll take Reddick in that situation.
I'm with you on the Tre'Davious White, actually. I'm not too big a fan. I don't think he's very good at any one thing. He's kind of just decent in a lot of areas. He's kind of a fringe top 75 guy for me, actually. So out of those three, Ryan, are you taking... I think you're kind of a fan of the first two, right? Who you taking on that
I love,
one?
I love I love Reddick, of course, but going back to Trey White, I think he's going to be a really, really good slot corner, and I think the name that I've thrown out there a lot for a comp, and I know Raiders fans probably hate it, but I think he's exactly what DJ Hayden was kind of promised to be. I think Trey White's just really, really solid. he can run and scream, you know, but I think Trey Wright, you know, really, really solid, as Nick said, in kind of all different facets, doesn't really stand out in any one particular area, but I think the area that he does stand out in, he's able to turn his head and look for the ball, and it's little things like that for me, boys, that I really, really value. So,
okay. All right, this one's a tough one. I think it will be maybe not, Ryan. I know who you're going to take. So, Eddie, we'll go with you. At Raider T wants to know, Quincy Wilson, Jarrad Davis, Shadobi Awuzie.
At 24, I'll stick with my guy, Jarrad Davis. I think the guy, like you guys say, checks a lot of the boxes. I would like him to, you know, I don't think he's the best guy covering out of the backfield, but I think he's a thumper this team could use. So I'll go Jarrad Davis.
All right. Ryan, you going to go Awuzie?
That's the boy.
All right, let's go to the next one. You guys are going to see a theme here with some of these scenarios. I wonder who the fan favorite.
A lot of Jarrad Davis, man. Yeah, what the hell's going on?
I wonder who the fan favorite is for the 24th pick. I don't know who did someone say something about that? Did someone mock?
Vic Tafer kind of came out and mentioned Jarrad Davis.
I think it was a combo of Tafer and I think Move the Sticks, Daniel Jeremiah. I think he was mocking him to Oakland kind of consistently towards the end here, and I think everyone's on board with his line of thinking, because I think he nailed the Carl Joseph pick last year, and I want to say the pick before. I want to say last year, the year prior, he's had a pretty decent track record with
3 years in a row. DJ has got Raiders first.
Is that
right?
Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
So whoever DJ says on draft day, that's who we're taking. let's go to the next one. So inside linebacker focus here, Jarrad Davis, TJ Watt, Zach Cunningham. So Eddie, you still sticking with Jarrad?
Yeah, I'll stick with Jarrad there. I think TJ, high motor guy outside. I'll stick with Jarrad.
Okay. Ryan, what about you? Are you on defense by Cunningham and Davis?
I think I had Cunningham a bit higher. I think the positions are a bit different. I like Watt more or less off the edge as much as possible. Like Eddie said, really, really high motor guy. But I think all things equal there, I'm looking at the players talent wise, I'm gonna go TJ Watt.
Okay. So at New York Raider 4, Hassan Reddick, Ruben Foster, Obi Melifonwu, three big names.
Ooh. Ruben Foster.
Who wants to go first?
Ruben Foster all day.
I was gonna say, Eddie, those are like some of your, like, that's all your kids right there.
All your children. Yeah, those are heavyweights. Who you got, Ryan?
That is a really tough one, man. I think I'm probably gonna go Reddick. Ruben's at 24, man. That's going to be a really, 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 really tough choice. I'm going to go with, I think Reddick, just the way he tested, just kind of separates himself a little bit from, you know, a majority of these players. So,
okay. So I think Eddie's going to go Ruben on this next one. It's Ruben Foster, Buda Baker, Obi Melifonwu. Is that correct, Eddie? Going Ruben again?
I'll take it. Not too quick, but Ruben, yeah.
Ryan, what about you? You going with your other son, Buda Baker?
Yeah, Buda for me.
All right. So let's move into round two. So we've got from the kid from Villanova, or not really a kid because he's like 6'8", 290 pounds.
I mean, how to say that name, dude, yeah.
Kapasignan, or Trey White, Awuzie, or Adoree. This guy treated and gave us four. So Ryan, what do you got out of that bunch?
Yeah, I mean, for me, again, I'm going to take Awuzie, the kid who I like at 24.
Okay. What about you, Eddie?
I'm torn. A lot of people, like, I don't know, you guys tell me what you think, but I'm not too sure. Adoree Jackson is a ridiculous athlete. I just don't know what he does. You know, sometimes he falls off tackling and press man. So I don't know what to take with Adoree. I'll take Awuzie there as well.
Yeah, I'm taking Awuzie, actually. Adoree, he's obviously a fantastic athlete. He's a threat with the ball in his hands, but I mean, the Raiders have a kick returner, they have a punt returner. I don't think he's that great of a cornerback, so I'll take Awuzie there.
I think with Adoree, I think a lot of people kind of liken him to like an Asante Samuel type player, where he's gonna bite a lot, he's gonna gamble a lot, he's gonna come up with his fair share of plays, but he's gonna get beat a lot as well. And we saw that in college, man. He gave up some really, really bad plays. But at the same time, he's had his share of, you know, splashy plays. So I guess it's how you value that.
All right, so Jimmy 7 Slevin, it's got Deontay Foreman, Sidney Jones, Malik McDowell. So what are you doing on this one, Eddie?
I'll take Sidney Jones on this one. I just think this guy's too talented. You know, he'll come back from the ACL. Even if he misses the first four games or something like that, I think he could possibly get one of the bigger steals if he takes Sidney Jones in the second round.
Okay, what about you, Ram?
I like Malik.
All right. I'm going Sidney. Let's go on this one. Round two, KJ Herm asks, Buda Baker, Zach Cunningham, Tyus Bowser. What do you got, Eddie?
I'll take Buda Baker in that one. I think he could be a honey badger, you know, Tyrann Mathieu type player, whether he's kicking down the nickel or playing safety. I'll take Buda.
I'm taking Tyus Bowser. Sorry, fellas. all right, so Fallinator 007, Josh Jones, Sidney Jones.
It's an easy choice for Eddie, and, man. Oh, maybe not, though.
I know, exactly. Maybe Josh and Sidney. We got the two Joneses and then Tano Kapasignan. So what are you doing, Eddie, on this one? Which Jones are you taking?
Oh, my God, I don't know.
this is actually really interesting because I feel like this scenario could potentially present itself at 56, Eddie.
You know what? I want a replacement for Reggie Nelson. I want that true free safety. I'm taking Josh Jones.
Okay.
There we go. That was a good one. What do you got, Ryan?
Yeah, that is a tough one. I'm gonna go Josh Jones as well. Again, it's super, super close, of course, but obviously you probably give it to the guy that's not coming off an injury. So
makes sense. I'm taking Sidney there. Actually, his Achilles injury obviously a serious injury, but all accounts, I mean, it could be put out there by his camp, of course, but all accounts say that he'll be good to go. He was at worst to me cornerback number two, someone I would have loved at the 24th pick. So I don't, you know, I'm confident that that he can come back to what he was. So that would be the pick for me. So Ryan, I'll ask you this one because this is like probably a couple of your guys here. So our boy Rock Thunder Punch, Chidobe Awuzie, Curtis Samuel, Raekwon McMillan.
Yeah, that is really tough, man. Again, a woozy kid I like at 24. Curtis Samuel for me is the second best wide receiver in this class. He's Percy Harvin all over again, and Raekwon is again one of my favorite picks at 56 overall. So that is a hard question. I'm gonna go with Curtis Samuel, man. I got something about, again, I'm probably on an island. I got something about building this offense and just giving Derek Carr the most weapons. I think you add Curtis Samuel to this team, he's going to give you, you know, maybe 75-80% of what kind of Christian McCaffrey's going to give you. You could throw him out of the backfield, throw him in the slot, split him out wide. He's just a dynamic playmaker. So I'm gonna lean Curtis Samuel there.
What about you, Eddie?
I'll take Raekwon McMillan between those three guys. Just give me all the linebackers to stop the run and stop giving up so many freaking points.
I'm with you. I'm on the Raekwon train. One of my favorites in the class for me.
Not to mention he's named after a guy from Shaolin, my hometown.
Yeah, you got
shout out. Yeah, there you go.
Shout out. Thanks for the kids.
Exactly. So Bad Taco Bell, interesting handle. He's got three safeties for us: Marcus Williams, Justin Evans, Marcus May. So Eddie, go
That's
first.
A tough one.
Yeah, that is a tough one. What about you, Ryan?
Man, I'm probably gonna go. I think May might be the best prospect out of those three, but I think he kind of fills that box type safety role as well. That's kind of where I want to play him. So it depends what you're going to do with Carl Joseph there. As such, I think Justin Evans is an interesting kid as well. I think he's kind of catching a little bit of steam leading up to draft day here. I know you're big on Marcus Williams, Nick, but I guess I'm probably going to lean Justin Evans a little bit there. I think he's got a little more versatility, whereas I think Marcus Williams is kind of a true deep type safety.
Yeah. So it's just different. Each guy is a little bit different in their role. Marcus May, probably more of the box type. Justin Evans, I think, is the most balanced of the three. And then Marcus Williams is that center fielder, rangy cover guy. So I think actually of the three, I'm a big Marcus Williams fan. But with that being said, I think he fits the best as well as far as what the Raiders need, because they can play Carl Joseph in the box and then they can have Marcus Williams go single high when they want to. So that would be my pick there. All right, so Odd Sheffy, he's got, I think, a pretty good one. Jaleel Johnson, Raekwon McMillan, Marcus Williams. Ryan, go first on this one.
I'm going to go McMillan, Chef Raekwon. Okay.
Eddie, you sticking with McMillan on this one, too?
No, I'll take Jaleel Johnson on this one.
Ooh, interesting. Yeah, all right. So, Eddie, how do you feel about Jaleel's combine? I know he obviously didn't test as well as some of these other, you know, tackles and stuff like that. Is that a concern for you?
I don't think it's a concern. I think, you know, his production speaks for itself, his tape. I saw him on the field at the Senior Bowl, and he looked the part. So, I'll take a chance with him.
No, that's fair enough.
So let's run through just a couple potential maybe round three scenarios, and we'll get this wrapped up. So, Eddie, this one's for you. Jimmy 7-11. He's got another one here for us.
Man.
Eddie Jackson. Yeah, he's back. Can't stop Jimmy. Eddie Jackson, Rasul Douglas, Tease Tabor.
Well, like I mentioned before, I think Eddie Jackson's a guy coming from the Alabama pedigree, kind of a ball hawk type guy. I like Eddie Jackson in that spot.
Okay, gotcha. What about you, Ryan?
I'm going to go Tabor, man. I was banging the drum for Tabor as the cornerback one early on. His tape just speaks for itself, man. He's just a shutdown. But it's really, I mean, whatever he did at Indianapolis and at Florida as far as running, man, it definitely raised some flags. So I think round three is probably some decent value. So
next up, we've got Ian Norks, 14, Duke Riley, Montrevious Adams, Cooper Kupp. Ryan, go first on that one.
I'm not sure I got any of these guys in round three, but if I had to pick one, I think Cooper Kupp's just the best, you know, all things considered, talent wise. Just a really, really, really good footwork, really good hands. Obviously, the production at Eastern Washington speaks for itself. So, again, I'm probably on an island wanting to draft offensive players early. So, that'd be my pick.
All right, Eddie, what about you? Are you on any of these guys?
Yeah, I think if, like what Ryan said, if Cooper's there at that point, I think you might have to pull the trigger with a talent like that in the third. But I really like Duke Riley. You know, I liken him a little bit to his former teammate Deion Jones.
Yeah, that's fair.
Came out last year, I made a big impact. So I think a guy like Duke Riley, again, just give me all the linebackers. So I might be
able to run with it. Yeah, I'll take Duke in that scenario. I'm not really that high on any of the three, so maybe around early in this scenario, but I'll take Duke of that bunch. We'll go back to you on this one, Eddie. We've got Samaje Perine, Shaquille Griffin, Anthony Walker Jr.
That's a really, really good one. It's three guys that I mentioned at this point. I'll go off the cuff a little bit here, and I'll say the Raiders don't sign Marshawn. I'll take Perine.
Okay.
I think he is a beast of a man who can, you know, really give you that power threat. I think I'll go Perine in that situation.
That dude's like a bowling ball.
Yeah.
What about you, Ryan?
I like Shaq. Shaq in that scenario. I think he tested actually one of the dudes from PFF, I want to say it was Sam Monson, kind of likened him to a discount version of Marshawn Lattimore. Just a really kind of a really good recovery speed. Obviously one of the better athletes as well, tested out of his mind. So I think Shaq's going to obviously fill a position in need. And just a kind of checks the boxes, you know, jump in and all that good stuff. So.
Okay. All right. We've got one more. Dalvin Tomlinson, Tano Kapasignan, or Joe Mixon.
Ooh. I mean, look, if Mixon's there in the third round, I think he's a no-brainer, even though I love me some Dalvin Tomlinson. But if Mixon's there at that point, I think you pull the trigger and, you know, roll with the bunches, no pun intended.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Ryan, what about you?
Again, I'm with Eddie, man. Mixon's a kid that I'm drafting at 24. Mixon's a kid that if for whatever reason he slips past the Bengals at 41, at 56, I'm running the card for the stage. I'm driving to Philly, picking up Eddie, and we're gonna go hand the card. We're gonna go hand the card in, man. So,
all right, I'm not taking Mixon at all, regardless of the round. Not on my board. So I'm taking Dalvin Tomlinson in that one. Let's just stay on that topic for just another minute. Mixon has had some buzz with the Raiders. They brought him in for a visit. They've been linked to him doing some due diligence at least. And I think we all know very well that Mark Davis has a very strong zero tolerance, you know, long-standing policy about domestic incidences. So, Eddie, are you buying that buzz? Do you think it's legitimate, or do you think it's just maybe some due diligence?
I think it's more due diligence. I think it's just like we talked about. I mean, if a guy falls to a certain point and you have no point, you know, you really can't not pull the trigger on him. I think you do. I would put the chances of him going 24 at less than 2%. I just don't think that the Raiders will pull the trigger at that point. In the second round, they might. I mean, depending on what Marshawn, you know, happens. I have a sneaky suspicion, and I've heard from a couple good sources, that Mixon, you know, if he doesn't get picked in the first, which he probably won't, will be the top pick in the second round, 33, to the Cleveland Browns.
Interesting.
All right. So let's wrap this up with some final predictions here before draft day. We'll just we'll go through and make one pick for each round. So we'll start with Ryan, actually. So round one, who's your pick?
Oof, I'm gonna go Buda Baker. I'm gonna go my guy Buda.
Okay. Eddie, who's your round one pick?
I'll stick with the trending, how it's going the past couple weeks. I'll pick Jared Davis from Florida.
Okay. Round two, Ryan, who you got?
I'm gonna go Raekwon.
Baekwon, I like it. Eddie, round two.
I will go I'm gonna go Akello Witherspoon from Colorado.
Dang.
Ooh, all right. That's all a pick. Right. Yeah, Ryan, round three, what you got?
I'm gonna go Kello in round three for me.
Kello, okay. Eddie, round three.
I'm gonna go Dalvin Tomlinson in round three.
I like it. I like it.
Ryan, kick us off for round four.
The kid that I was talking about earlier, Trey Hendrickson off the edge, Florida Atlantic kid.
Okay. Eddie, what do you have in round four for us?
I'm gonna go, hopefully he's there in round four, I'm gonna go Shaq Griffin. From UCF, get me two cornerbacks here.
There you go. Got your two. All right, Ryan, start off round five.
I'm not sure he's there, but if he is, man, again, another kid that I'm running to the stage for, Ryan Switzer, wide receiver out of North Carolina.
Okay, Eddie, what you got?
I will go with the guy, kid from Florida. We'll stay with Reggie's. I want to take a linebacker, maybe a little banged up. I'll go Alex Anzalone from Florida.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Okay. All right. So we got two more rounds to go, but three more picks at least. So Ryan, round what are we in? Round six. Go
six. Ahead. Yeah. Again, I don't think he should be there. I think he will be there. I talked about him earlier. Again, Aaron Jones out of UTEP, running back. I think despite the Marshawn, if Marshawn signs, if he doesn't sign, regardless, I'm taking Aaron Jones.
Regardless. Okay, Eddie, round six.
I think people are going to get scared off, warranted or not, by the health concerns. I will go James Conner out of Pitt.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Okay, both go back in the six. All right. So the seventh round, the first pick, Ryan.
I'm going to go, man, it's tough here. I took Raekwon in the second. Again, another kid that I talked about. I don't think he's going to be there, but if he is, Jalen Reeves-Maybin, just depending what that medical's looking like. Another linebacker in that same mold again, Jayon Brown, UCLA kid, outside linebacker.
So Jayon Brown is who you're going with?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Eddie, what do you have for the first seventh-round pick?
A guy they brought in for a visit, I will go Jonathan Ford, safety at Auburn. Mm-hmm. That they take a chance on him late.
All right, last pick for the Raiders, Ryan. Who you got?
I know you guys weren't on board earlier as far as drafting a tight end, but I think a kid that I talked about earlier in one of my mock drafts is Billy Brown out of Shepherd, really small school kid, Division II school, I believe, but kind of in that Evan Ingram type role. You know, he's kind of built like a wide receiver, but just a really really tall body, red zone type of threat as well. So.
Okay, last pick of the draft for the Raiders. Who are you taking?
I'll finally take an offensive lineman. Give me Adam Bisnawati out of Pittsburgh. A bigger guy, brings a little toughness to the team. Backup tackle to start. So Adam Bisnawati from Pitt to close it out.
I like that name. Just real quick for you, Eddie, you'll be pleased to know on my research here with offensive lineman, he was one of a couple of guys that checked every single box for McKenzie's offensive lineman.
Jeez,
and athleticism, except for
Eddie knows. Broad Eddie jump. Knows.
Except for broad jump, he was a little low, and that was it. So he definitely could be a late-round guy to watch. So here's a quick recap of what we have. Ryan, you took Buda Baker, Raekwon McMillan, Akello Witherspoon, Trey Hendrickson, Ryan Switzer, Aaron Jones, Jayon Brown, Billy Brown. How do you feel about your haul?
It's good, man. I think, again, I think I would like to probably have a tackle in there somewhere. I just, I, Marshall Newhouse, man, everyone says he's got the leg up on the right tackle competition. That's unfortunate if that's the case, man. That's scary.
It's early.
So I think I like what Eddie did, obviously adding a tackle late in his scenario. So I think for me, the only thing that I'd probably change is hopefully try to, depending how the board falls, maybe try to incorporate or target. Hopefully Reggie, you know, targets a tackle kind of mid to late. So overall, though, okay, definitely happy.
All right, so Eddie, here's your draft haul. We got Jared Davis, Kello Witherspoon, Dalvin Tomlinson, Shaq Griffin, Alex Anzalone, James Conner, Jonathan Ford, Adam Biznawati. How you feel about your draft?
I like it. I think you address a lot of the needs on defense, sprinkling a power back and a tackle, but I think you really plug some holes with a couple cornerbacks. You get some safety help, and you get definitely some linebacker help. I think that plugs the holes. I mean, you guys know, I mean, that's where they need the infusion of talent is on defense. And then obviously Dalvin Tomlinson too, another good disruptor in the middle. So that plays out, I'll be happy camper.
All right. I am going actually just as the decider here is whose draft I like the best. I'm deciding with Eddie. I'm taking Eddie's draft, actually. I think Woo-hoo! He did a pretty good job.
You got to be a good host, man. I understand. It's how it's
you know, going with our guest here. He plugged all the holes. You got Dalvin Robinson to plug the middle. That's a big need. He grabbed two mm-hmm. corners, which I like. He got the safety. Grabbed the tackle late. So I'm going with Eddie's draft here. Sign him up. All right, folks.
I like it.
Think that'll do it. Week's episode. We got the draft in 2 days, 48 hours. You think you guys are gonna make it? Because I don't know if I'm gonna make it.
The takes are starting to
become unbearable.
every off season, man, it's that point, right, where it's like the same information gets regurgitated, and it's just, and then we get kind of this obviously wacky stuff that happens, like with Conley and all that stuff. So I think Eddie, you might have tweeted about it maybe a day or three ago, where you just said what you've been hearing is it's going to be one of the more unpredictable. I think we say that every year, but I think in this year, I think it's really, really, I don't know what the hell is going to happen. So
I think all of us as a society should just shut Twitter off for 24 hours, reboot it back on Thursday with a clean slate, and now it's going to be exciting. Like I said, the first round I feel like is always a lot of craziness happens, but it's going to be exciting. Philly's going to be popping for sure.
Yeah, awesome. It's going to be a good time, so have fun out there, Eddie. I'm sure we'll be checking back with you sometime shortly after the draft to recap. If you'd like to come back on, we'll definitely have you. So that'll do it for this week's episode. Make sure to follow Mr. Eddie Borsilli. Eddie, you want to plug your Twitter and your show real quick?
Yeah, absolutely. It's at Borsilli, Borsilli, and Moving the Chains, SiriusXM, NFL Radio, Channel 88. We'll have every pick of every round. Channel 88 on SiriusXM, so make sure you watch on ESPN or network, but listen to us.
Awesome. All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Google Play, and that's it. Drop a review if you enjoyed the show. We appreciate it, and we will see you guys next week. Peace.
Appreciate it, man. Eddie, thanks for stopping by, brother. That was great.
No problem, guys. That was a lot of fun.